kids are dismissed. So once again, I'm like behind the pulpits with this mic. So if I go over here or go over here, I'll try to speak really loudly. I don't get up here that often. I should get up here more. A lot of times it's schedule dictates it or things in life or whatever. I wish I was up here a lot more than what I am. Can you guys hear me okay? I never know where to put this thing. Like, I never know, like, as long as it's not pointed that way, I guess I'm pointing it in the right direction, right? You know? So, but no, I always wished I was up here more, and it's always interesting. You guys are getting a little extra here, but it's always interesting when I actually get a chance to and coming up with sermons and coming up with topics and whatever. And it's kind of funny, Michelle texted me. I can't remember when you texted me. You texted me earlier in the week, and you were like, you know, hey, what's your topic? I want to pick songs and blah, 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 which is cool. It's a cool merger. That's kind of like how things should flow. And I was like, well, I have no idea. And I think I texted you what, a couple of days ago, and actually knew what God had given me. And I was like, but it's just funny how that works. But to say that is that, but yeah, I wish I was up here more and just sometimes it seems a little stressful, but it's always a good thing. I think it's always a good thing. But somebody said it's almost March, which that's crazy. But we're in a new year, like about almost a year ago. I think I spoke since a year ago. I mean, I don't, my speaking is not that far apart, but almost a year ago, I spoke to you guys and I spoke about, you know, what's January 23 hold towards us, you know, and at the time I was an elder, I was filling pulpits, and at the time I was talking about our Free and Clear campaign. And I was talking about, you know, how that was coming up and how we needed to deal with that and how much we needed to raise. And what's awesome is I stand before you now, not an elder, but the church has paid off. So that's pretty sweet. And then, so now since I'm not an elder, I can let you know in a little secret, the elders are now looking at a campaign to get them a private jet. So, you know, so just letting you know. So, you know, I fought it off as long as I could when I was an elder, but now since I'm not one, sorry, it's gone, you know. I gave you a little quick update of YFC, a job I love doing. And at the time I gave you like, hey, we're doing good, we're reaching students. And I can give you an update now is that during Christmas time, we gave the, you know, Christmas story, we always give it two or three times. And during that time, I don't know why I'm almost getting teary on this, but a girl said yes to Jesus for the first time. And it's always cool to, when a student says yes for the first time to Jesus. And then this weekend, this Friday, coming up Friday, we're taking 9 students to a winter retreat so they can grow more in their faith, and maybe some of them might say yes. So it's pretty cool. And then I dove into Mark chapter 2. I'm sure you remember the sermon I did, but just in case you don't, we was talking about running towards Jesus, having him be the center, thinking outside the box, letting people know we have the answer. So now, flash forward to now, you're probably thinking, what am I going to talk about today? Or you're thinking, just get on with it, Tom. What we're going to do today is that, first of all, we might need to crank the AC up, turn the fans on, because what we're going to talk about today is going to get a little hot. So with that, let me open a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that I get the privilege and the honor to speak about your word. I get to be a tool, a vessel for you. I pray, Lord, it is your words, not mine. I just pray, Lord, that hearts are open to receive your word, not mine. And I pray, Lord, that you just let us have fun receiving your word, but also, too, Lord, that we just get some good tidbits, Lord, from you, and some good life lessons, and this good knowledge. And that also, just like the song says, that, Lord, when we walk out of here, we'll want to speak Jesus more. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to look at one of the famous part of Scripture. It's one that it's a famous part in the Old Testament, and it's been taught to children and adults across the world. I mean, in different languages, it's been taught, and I'm sure some of us in this room have been taught through puppet ministry. Some of you guys remember that puppet ministry, or some of you guys have remembered this flannel graphs. You guys remember that little people like on the little? No? Okay. All right. Some of you guys. Okay. Some of you guys are with me. Okay. Today, the passage I'm referring to is in Daniel chapter 3. We're going to look at the fiery furnace and about the three crazy strong gentlemen known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's friends. And first of all, before we dive into Scripture, I want to give you a little background about what's going on and God's word. Like many of the Jews at the time, Daniel, who was the author of the book, hence the name Daniel, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're probably going to get tired of those names the time I get done here, all were forcibly moved from the homes around 605 BC from Judah to Babylon. I do not have a map. Sorry. If you're one of those map people, I don't have a map. So, after they arrived, through many God-divined appointments, situations, things happening, they were put underneath the services of King Nebuchadnezzar. If you've read these scriptures, it shows that nowadays it's pretty awesome that if you do the right things a lot of times, if you stick with it, if you stay on the straight and narrow, people will notice a lot of times, and God will help you get where you should be, even in the worldly setting. Also, does anybody have any VeggieTales flashbacks right now? Rack, Shack, and Benny, big giant bunny, or was it a big giant bunny or something like that? So back to King Nebuchadnezzar. He made a 90-foot-tall, 9-foot-wide golden statue. Think about that for a second. That's like 18 queen mattresses stacked end on top of each other. That's the width. Who's ever driven across the Golden Gate Bridge? Anybody? Golden Gate Bridge. That is as wide as the Golden Gate Bridge. If you laid it down, that's as wide as the Golden Gate Bridge. And also, too, for those sports fans out there, that's as long as it is from first to second base. Continuing on with the story, his henchman, the herald, told everybody that no one, no matter what race they were, no matter what nationality they were, what language they spoke, didn't matter who they were, had to bow down to this new statue in the king's honor when the music played. But see, what it is back then, most people didn't have an issue with bowing down to a new statue because they were already bowing down to probably 50 other statues or 50 other gods at that time. Little g, not big g. Gods. And what's really interesting, if you flash forward to today, we might not have a 90-foot statue, but a lot of us in this room are bowing down to gods. I'm not going to make a huge list because we'd be here all day, A lot of us are bowing down to things in our lives and putting those in front of God. And I hate to tell King Nebuchadnezzar, go back in time and tell King Nebuchadnezzar, but spoiler alert is that putting anything and telling anybody to bow down to anything is not good, because there's only one person we should be bowing down to. It says in Philippians 2, 10 through 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. No matter who you are, where you're from, what you worship, you will bow down and claim Jesus as King, Kings and Lord of Lords eventually. So King Nebuchadnezzar had it all wrong. And people have it all wrong nowadays, too, in 2024. As eventually, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. So let's jump into the scripture, starting with verse 8. It says, some astrologers went to the king and informed him on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You have issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the goat statue. When they hear the sound of the horn, flute, all these instruments, musical instruments. Keep going. Verse 11, they decreed also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown in the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the golden statue you have set up. First of all, I'll get to my point here, but first of all, was King Nebuchadnezzar like totally dumb? And he had to like have it all repeated back to him what he told people. Like this guy totally completely repeated, hey, by the way, this is what your law says. Anyway, it says, it's kind of life like that sometimes, right? There's always people watching out. If you say you're a Christian, if you say you're a believer in Christ, there's people watching you. There's people watching out for you. Either because of two reasons. One is because they want to know more about this Christ thing. They want to know more about, hey, I want to know more about this Jesus thing because I might want to become a Christian. And then the second part, the second thing is that they want to know why, because they want to trap you. They want to make fun of you. They don't want to be around you. They want to, if you mess up a little bit, they want to like, you know, tell you about the rules or regulations, or they want to throw the Bible back at you or something like that. And this is what the astrologer was doing, was telling Nebuchadnezzar, hey, by the way, these guys are not bowing down to your statue. And we have to remember that as Christians, is that people are watching us and looking out for us in all situations in life. Let's continue. It says in verse 13, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refused to serve my gods or to worship the golden statue I set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made. When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. That's really interesting, because they said that they don't need to defend themselves, but that's pretty much what they're doing, or what they did, or what they're going to be doing. And they did it in a respectful manner here. They didn't get mad at Nebuchadnezzar. At least they don't see that. And then they said, And then later on in the verses, we'll see is that they called him King Nebuchadnezzar. They gave him his title. They gave him his. They didn't say, "Oh, hey Nebi," or "Hey Nebuchadnezzar." You know, they gave him his title. And so many times we got to remember that is that as Christians, if we get in debates with people, or if we get in situations with people, and they're telling us we're wrong, or we're talking with people, we got to remember we still need to respect people. We still need to show them respect, and we still need to be not rude to them, or be crass to them, or be in any situation like that, because we still need to be showing them the love of Christ as a church. Friendship and as the big church of all of us across the world. And it says 17, it says, We are thrown into the blazing furnace. The God whom we serve is able to save us. He'll rescue us from your power, your majesty. See, once again, they like your majesty, they're showing him respect. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. Question is that when people come to us and people come at us in a situation or try to throw little barbs at us or throw whatever, what are we going to say to people? Are we going to have questions? Are we going to have words with them? Are we going to have answers to their questions? Not saying we got to be Bible scholars, but are we going to have answers to their questions? Or are we just going to get mad at them for answering questions? You know, the thing is are we going to rely on God for those questions? Or rely on God to answer back? That's what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did here, is that when they were talking to the king, they relied on God. God gave them those words to say to King Nebuchadnezzar. It didn't flow out of their mouth just because whatever, is that they relied on God during that situation. And the whole point is that God gives you strength to take stands. God gave them the strength to go through all that. That portion of the story, God gave them the strength to do that. They didn't do that on their own. They didn't do stand up when there was tons of other people. God gave them the strength to do that. And to be honest, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. I mean, think about it. I don't know if you guys could do that. I don't know. Think about it. Like, there was probably thousands of people. And when the music played for the first time, they stood standing. I don't know if I could stay standing. Think about it. Like, you know what the consequence is. Get thrown in the fiery furnace. Everybody else, that's like massive peer pressure. Massive peer pressure. And you're like, But they had God on their side. God was giving them strength. The only way any of us could do what they were doing was God gives us strength, power, and wisdom to take stands in our daily lives. He gives us through the Holy Spirit when we're knocked down, when we're getting attacked by the arrows of Satan. It says, we can learn from these gentlemen that they put all their personal lives aside, their personal feelings aside, everything aside, and they gave it all to God. This is something we should do, and we should continue trying to do daily. Because we're going to take stands. We're going to take a little stand, you know, maybe at work or at school or whatever. We're going to take a little stand, you know. Maybe it's a little thing. You know, maybe not cheating on a test, or maybe not, you know, not whatever it is, you know. Then there's situations where we're going to take huge stands, maybe at work, or maybe, you know, wherever it is. But the situation is that are we going to use God's strength to do that? And then as things start really heating up, it says, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. It's an interesting word, distorted with rage. and commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind them and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Think about this for a second. Is that they get tied up, bound up, and they get tossed in. But before they get tossed in, the guys that are going to toss them in get cooked themselves, get fired, they get just obliterated, probably no existence of them whatsoever. And what's really interesting, and this will come into play later on, is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had pants on, turbans on, hats on. I mean, turbans and hat. But, you know, they had way more clothes than what we're wearing right now. And it's way more garb than what we're wearing. And then the furnace is hottest it's ever been. You know. So why did God allow this to happen to these 3 guys? They made a stand. They made, you know, they used God's strength and they stood up. And why is God letting this happen to these 3 fellows? God allows us to go through fires to teach us, to purify us, and then there's a purpose for it. And a lot of times it's for His glory. See, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we are going to get thrown in different types of fires in our lives. There's going to be different situations in our lives that we're going to get tossed into. You know, maybe it's your friends, family, or yourself. You're going to get thrown into fires. Maybe it's a work problem. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's trouble in marriage, medical diagnosis, serious illness, trouble with your kids. Or maybe it's, you know, attending a church that doesn't have a pastor. But you're going to get thrown in fires in life. Things are going to happen. You're going to walk through those valleys. Stuff's going to happen. Right? And the list could go on and on. It's another list. I could be here for forever. But I'm watching the clocks, and so I can't do that. All these fires and these situations happen for a reason. Just like it happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown in the fire for a reason. And a lot of times we get thrown in the fires too. And a lot of times, sometimes you get thrown in the fire and it's not your fault. For example, when I got cancer a year after I moved here and I got thyroid cancer, it wasn't my fault. I didn't purposely go somewhere and drink a drink that said, "Ooh, cancer drink. Oh, I want to drink that." It wasn't my fault that I got cancer. It happened. And I walked through it. I walked through the situation. My family walked through it with me. We got through it. And God was with me. Sometimes stuff happens. Other times, you cause situations yourself. But other fires, you don't. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news this morning, but nowhere in the Bible does it say the Christian walk or being Christ-like is going to be easy or a bed of roses. It says in Isaiah 40:31-2, it says, God reminds us, it says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you are not will be burned. The flames will not consume you." Then check out this verse from a very famous passage. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have nothing I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me brings honor. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid. See, what's cool about that, and I'll get to it in a second, but what's cool about that is stuff's going to happen. But there's always somebody there with us. But I'll get to that in a second. Every time there's a situation in our lives, I think we'd love it if there's a situation that would just disappear. When I had my thyroid cancer, I wished it would just disappear. When I got that phone call, I wished when I prayed right after it, I wished it had just disappeared. But no, I had to go through surgery. I had to go take a pill that may be radioactive for a week. Seriously, I was like radio. I was like Spider-Man. No, I'm stupid. I couldn't climb walls or nothing like that. I did have the web shooters. No, I'm stupid. But no, sometimes you're gonna go through life and things are gonna happen. And it's not God might not answer those prayers. Or God might not fully, completely. And it's going to sting. It's going to hurt. And you're not going to understand. Like when my dad died, I didn't understand why he died. But the thing is, one thing I can tell you is we serve a mighty God, we serve an awesome God, we serve a powerful God, we serve an amazing God, we serve a God that cares about us. And I'll show you that right now. It says in verse 24, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them in the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did. They replied, look, he shouted, I see 4 men bound up, walking around the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Then Nebuchadnezzar came close as he could to the door and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So they stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, advisors crowded them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent an angel to rescue his servant who trusted them. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Ouch. Then the houses will be torn into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue you like this. No other God that can rescue you like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher position than what they had before. I talked about how we go into the furnace. I talked about how in our lives we deal with stuff. We deal with issues. We deal with trauma. We deal with things that are sometimes horrible, sometimes are small, and sometimes are big. You know, sometimes our car breaks down. And we're like, man, what in the world? But then a few weeks later, we hear about our friend's marriage breaking up. We hear about all that stuff. We hear all about those fires, those different things. But can I tell you something? God's in those fires. God's walking along. God's in those furnaces. There's been like tons of debates. I looked this up, and there's been tons of debates about if in the furnace, was it Jesus? Was it God? You know, a figure of God? Was it an angel? But one thing I can tell you is that God was with them that day. I don't know about you guys, but when we have a little patio, on the patio we at our house, we have like a little fire pit thing. And it has where we can do s'mores. We have logs, and we put logs in there, and we put fire in there. And I don't like s'mores. I'm not, yeah, you can throw stuff at me. I don't like s'mores, but my boys do. And every once in a blue moon, we'll do fire and we'll do s'mores. And one of the reasons I don't like fires or whatever, because you smell like it. You just, ugh. Maybe flashes back to when my dad smoked and I smelled like smoke. But anyway, it's like fire and you smell like fire. And you're like, even if you're out there like 2 minutes, you smell like fire. That's crazy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was literally in the fire and they didn't smell like it whatsoever. Tell me that's not God. Come on. Not a hair on their head was singed or nothing. God can do some amazing things. It says in Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. In Isaiah, go back to Isaiah, it says, I will be with you when you walk through the fire, and you shall not be burned, and flames will not consume you. Big, mean, old King Nebuchadnezzar realized who the true God was that day. Here's the deal, is that it does not matter if you're walking through a big, huge situation or if you're just folding your laundry at home, God is with you. God wants to be with you. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to fight those fires with you. Question is, will you let him? Question is, will we let him as a church? He can heal the sick. He can give strength. He can give strength to the weak, wisdom to those who ask, salvation to the hearts who are ready. And you can flip through the Bible so many times. And there's proof of how big God is. And you can talk to people nowadays in 2024, and you can see how big God is. My question to you is, are you going to let him in your furnace? Because a lot of times furnaces have doors. I just thought about this. Furnaces have doors a lot of times to keep the heat in. The question is, are you going to open that door and let him in and help you out? Help you walk through that fire. Help you walk through it and not get singed, not get burned. And like I said, it does not matter if it's small or if it's big. It doesn't matter if you're doing laundry or if you're doing, your car breaks down. God wants to be there with you. We tell this at students at YFC. It doesn't matter if your girlfriend broke up with you or if you got a bad grade in science. God wants to hear those things and be there. It's the same thing with adults. Same thing with the church. God wants to hear those things and be there. And like I said, there's going to be some times where God's going to be like, you're going to have to go and through and still pay for your car repair and get 4 tires. But God watched over you and didn't get a wreck. Well, you had those four bad tires. Sorry, it says he will give you strength to stand and be in the fire with you, and he will be there when you walk through it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that so many true examples in the Bible of your faithfulness. Thank you so much, Lord, for of this loving us, of caring for us, no matter if it's big, small, medium. I thank you, Lord, for always wanting to have a relationship with us, Lord. Let us have you walked through the fires with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for walking through those fires, Lord. So many of us in this room, Lord, have experienced fires, and big ones and little ones, but you are always there. Pray, and Father, be with us. Guide us and direct us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good rest of your week.